This morning, we are celebrating something, and we are celebrating Thanksgiving. How many of you guys had a great Thanksgiving on Thursday? Yeah? How many ate too much? Keep that hand up. All right. So we love to celebrate with family, and hopefully you had an opportunity to do that with your family on Thursday, but there's a bigger family that we all share in, and that's this family right here, the Carmichael Bible Church family. And so we want to be able to share with one another things that we are thankful for this year. And those of us who are adults, we'll have an opportunity in just a few minutes to be able to share what we have been thankful for, what God has blessed us with this last year. But right now, we're going to hear from a few of our kids. And from the Buds group, we have Reagan, Billy, and Joshua. Reagan, Billy, and Joshua, why don't you guys come up front? And from the Treehouse group, we're going to have Matthew, Michael Diaz Upton, and Cody. Come on up, guys. And you guys get to share with the church family something that you're thankful for this year. Is that exciting? How many think it's important to give God thanks? Yeah? All right. So, Josh, you want to start and just pass the mic down? Something that you're thankful to God for. Go ahead and share. Say, I'm thankful for whatever you want to say.
Friends.
All right.
Friends, too.
Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa and Nan and Papa.
My family and friends.
The moon and the sun.
Everything that God has given us.
Thanks, guys. You guys can have a seat. Thank you for sharing this morning. Like I said, in a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity to open it up to the church family to share what we're thankful to God for. But it's important that we have Thanksgiving. For those of you guys who may be new or haven't been here in a while, something that we're doing is we're going through the book of John together. How many have been here for the entire series in the book of John? We started, I believe, back in the summer sometime. And we're now in John chapter 10. We're about at the halfway point in the gospel, the good news of John. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to start out this morning by asking the children. So, adults, calm down here. It's the children's turn, right? I want to hear from the children. If you could be any animal, if you could turn into any animal, what would you choose and why? What would you choose and why? You could turn into any animal. Anybody? Anybody? Any hands? Way in the back. All right. Any animal. All right.
A horse.
A horse. Well, that's nice. Why would you choose a horse?
I don't know.
She doesn't know. It's pretty. It's galloping. Yeah?
A snake.
A snake. Whoa. Why would you turn into a snake, Cody?
Because they're cool.
They're cool. All right. Who else? Oh, yep. What animal would you choose and why?
Guinea pig.
A guinea pig. Wow, I wasn't expecting that one. And why?
I just like them.
You just like the guinea pigs. Do you have something, Mike?
A snake.
A snake. You and Billy, or Cody, sorry, hang out together?
A monkey.
A monkey. Why?
Because I am a monkey.
Oh, you are? Okay. Well, I think your parents can vouch for that.
I'll turn into a dinosaur.
A dinosaur. All right.
Cheetah.
A cheetah? Because they're really fast? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let me get to the other side here. You guys are going to wear me out today.
A camel.
A camel? Why a camel?
Because I want to go in the desert.
You want to go in the desert. All right. Well, that makes some sense.
A dog because it's like being a best friend of Jesus.
Oh, it's loyal. Dogs. Who has a dog? Anybody have a dog? All right. Let's come over here. Zach, we said kids. Come on now.
Tiger.
A tiger. Why?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
Fox.
A fox, because they're smart?
No, because they live in the woods.
Oh, because they live in the woods. Okay.
A rat so I can scare my mom.
A bear.
A bear, why?
Because they're almost the strongest animals.
Whoa. Oh, all right. Two more.
A monkey.
A monkey? Why?
Because they swing on bars.
Because they swing on bars?
A bird.
A bird?
To fly.
Because you can fly. That's cool. You're not a kid, Noah. Nice try, Noah. All right, so as I suspected, you realize that there's a lot of animals the children chose. The animals the children chose were for a variety of different reasons, but they were, you know, things that they were cool, or they could scare people, or they were fast, or they could fly, all these cool things. But as I suspected, they left an important animal out. What do you think they left out this morning? Sheep. No kid goes, I want to be a sheep. Why not? Why not? Why do we not aspire to be a sheep? Well, I'm here to tell you that the Bible calls those of us who follow Jesus sheep. Sheep. And there's a reason why. I looked up sheep the other day, and I looked up some of the characteristics of sheep. And these are some of the characteristics that sheep have. First of all, they're stupid and they're stubborn. Have you ever seen a trained sheep? Anybody gone to the circus and go, check out the, you know, the elephant that can dance and the monkey that can do some sort of routine and the sheep? No, sheep are stupid. They're untrainable. They're stubborn. They're also dirty and easily losing their way. You know, some of the images we see on TV, how many have seen the Serta, like sleep thing with the little sheep and it looks all like beautiful and fluffy? You'll rarely find anything like that in the wild. Because sheep are dirty. They end up getting dirty. Their wool gets dirty. And they're lost most of the time. And they wander away. They never learn from their mistakes. They possess acute senses. In other words, they can smell really good. They can see fairly well. They can hear very well. But guess what happens with those senses? It makes them easily startled and easily frightened and spooked. It drives them crazy. They're known to plunge off cliffs out of fear and confusion just from being startled. They get startled, they see something, they run, and they fall right off a cliff. Sheep are defenseless. You know, they're one of the rare animals that God created that have no natural defenses. What are they going to do? If a big wolf comes towards a sheep, what's a sheep going to do? It can't outrun the wolf. It can't, like, scare the wolf. They have no defenses. They're defenseless. So they need protection. And sheep are dependent. They need looking after. They can't fend for themselves. They need someone to provide for them. So let me ask you a question. Do you see any similarities between yourself and this animal? Do you? Well, I want you to ask yourself this question. Better yet, ask somebody who really knows you, maybe somebody sitting next to you, these questions about yourself. Are you ever stubborn? Sinful, obstinate, rebellious, or foolish? Are you easily distracted, confused, or frightened by all that life brings? Are you desperate to feel safe and secure in this world? Do you desire to have your needs provided for? If you're still in denial, then you have a problem this morning, because we are a lot like sheep. The Bible says that in Isaiah chapter 56, it says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have wandered away and are doing things our own way. That's what the Bible depicts. It depicts people, humanity, being like sheep, wandering away from God and from the truth. If this was the end of the story, however, if this was all there was, we're like sheep. We're stubborn, obstinate, sinful, rebellious, stupid. That would be bad news. That would make life not worth living. Because we would just try and go from one scary encounter to the next. one hopeful thing where we think we're going to get provision to the next and be disappointed every time. That's what life is like. And yet God has provided a better way. The good news is a fulfilling life is available. A full life is available. The good shepherd has come to give life to all who respond to his voice. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that you are the one who has come to provide for us. God, we recognize how similar we are, probably in your eyes, in your perspective, to that of sheep. Helpless, defenseless, lost sheep. And yet you look down on us with care and compassion, with love. And you said, I don't want to leave them in that state. I want to come to provide them direction, to provide for their needs, to make sure that they can enjoy life as I designed it to be. And God, we thank you for that heart that you have for us, your sheep. God, help us to recognize you as the good shepherd this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In order to take a look at John chapter 10 this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. I want to make sure that we understand a couple of things. There's a couple contexts that we must understand in looking at this passage. One of the contexts is the big picture, and the other one is the smaller picture, the thing that was happening right around the time that Jesus shared this story. Who was with us last week when we talked about the blind man? Just two people. All right, everybody else is asleep. Okay, there's a few more hands. So last week we looked at the blind man, and we looked at the fact that Jesus recognized this man was suffering from a condition where he could not see. And because he could not see, he was in darkness. And his ability to live a full life was severely hampered. He couldn't do it. As a matter of fact, the only thing he was relegated to doing, the only thing he could do was basically beg for passersby to be generous enough to maybe drop a few coins in a little tin can or bucket that he used to try and collect money. And Jesus came by and he says, do you want to see? And the man wanted to see. Of course he wanted to see. And he used this illustration because he had talked about to the Pharisees. You remember the Pharisees were the people who claimed to know God, but clearly did not. Because here was Jesus. Here was the one who was presenting himself as God, and they were rejecting him at every turn. And so Jesus said, you guys are like that blind man. You guys are the ones who can't see what's really going on here. And the Bible sets up this contrast between light and darkness, between being able to see and being completely blind to the truth. And it's within this context. And you remember what happened to the blind man after he washed in the pool and he came back seeing? The Pharisees wanted to basically investigate and question him. Who let you see? How did it happen? And he says, Jesus did. They said, how do you know? You sure he did it? Did he do it on the Sabbath? And they're questioning him, and they're trying to find some reason to accuse Jesus of wrong. And here's this blind man going, I don't know, guys. All I know is I was once blind, and now I can see, right? I was lost, now I'm found. There's this picture of this man who's saying, I don't know what your guys' problem is, but I realize that Jesus is something very important in my life. And what did they do to the blind man after he shares that with them? Do you remember what they did, the Pharisees? They threw him out. They cast him out. They excommunicated him from Judaism, from the religious portion of their society. They threw him out. And it's interesting because Jesus then kind of confronts the Pharisees at the end of the chapter, chapter 9. And he says, you guys claim that you can see. That's why you're guilty. If you were blind, if you were ignorant, if you didn't have a clue, then you wouldn't be guilty. of your sin. But you guys claim to be able to see. You guys can see. You've seen everything that I've done. You saw what I did with the blind man. You saw what I did before that. You've watched my life. You've heard what I have to say, and you're still choosing to reject me. And so you guys are going to be held guilty for your sins. And then it's in this context that Jesus shares this story. Let me read it for you. John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. You know, Jesus starts to talk about shepherd and sheep to a bunch of people who, guess what? Already knew about shepherd and sheep, because that's what was filled their society. That's what a lot of people in that day and age did. They had sheep, they had animals, they cared for them, they shepherded them. And Jesus begins talking. Now remember, who is he talking to? He's still in a dialogue with the Pharisees, the ones who have thrown out this blind man that he had healed, the ones who were accusing Jesus of being evil and wrong. And he's basically sharing a story about sheep and shepherd with them. Why? Why is he going there? Well, that's where you need to understand the bigger, broader context. And that is that in the Old Testament, there are several passages, Jeremiah chapter 23, Ezekiel chapter 34, Zechariah chapter 11, many other passages in Scripture where God talks about this imagery of shepherd and sheep. And he always talks about it in light of the fact that his people are the sheep and he is the shepherd. This is God relaying information to people written down in the Old Testament. Were the Pharisees aware of that information, those passages? They were. They were very aware of these things. They had studied it all their lives. And so Jesus brings up this illustration for a couple of reasons. One is they would begin to catch on that he's referring back to something that God had written in the Old Testament. He's going to make some claims about himself, and he's going to make it clear. But he also uses this because in those same passages, it talks a lot about the fact that God allows people to shepherd his people at times. And many of those passages say how evil and how rotten the shepherds of his people, the men that he had left in charge of his people, were. And how he was going to have to come one day and set things straight. He was going to have to make things right. So Jesus begins to share this story. But guess what it says there in verse 6? Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So what? What is this whole thing? We know that, yeah, there's a sheep pen. Here's a sheep pen. This is my sheep pen. How many were curious what this was? This is my sheep pen. And in the ancient times, they would build like a rock enclosure with like one opening, and they would house sheep in it. And they would make sure that it was high enough, and usually there were some sharp rocks on the top to try and keep the predators from getting in. And so Jesus gives this illustration and says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Well, duh, the shepherd would come in through here because he has the right to come in through here. This is his sheep pen, and these are his sheep. But the one who is not coming through there is trying to get in through this way, through some other way. Why would they come in through this way and not through the gate? Because they don't have the authority. They aren't allowed to come through the proper way. They don't have access to those sheep. They aren't meant to be with those sheep. And yet Jesus paints a picture and says, There's always predators trying to get in. Why? What are the predators? What are the thieves trying to do to the sheep? Love the sheep? Pet the sheep? No. They try and harm the sheep, kill the sheep, destroy the sheep. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. It's interesting, in those days they had a sheep porter or a watchman. And the watchman would kind of guard many sheep pens. And he would make sure that only the proper shepherd would be able to access the different sheep pens. And when he saw the proper shepherd coming, he would say, okay. And he'd make sure that the gate or the door or whatever there was there would be open for that shepherd, because he was the rightful owner of those sheep. In our context, listen to what Jesus says, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, remember, they didn't understand, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the door. I am the way to enter properly into the sheep pen. All whoever came before me, who claimed to be that, were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus makes an important claim. He says, I am the one who is the gate, the proper way to enter into the sheep pen and to come out through the sheep pen. Everybody else tries to get in some other way. And they try and get in some other way to harm the sheep, to hurt them, to steal, to rob, to kill, to destroy. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had said something like this before. Listen what he said. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. This is something that I thought was interesting. Remember, he says that they listen to his voice. They recognize the proper voice. Verse 4. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Go back to the blind man for a second. Did the blind man ever see Jesus before he was healed? No, he didn't. But what did he do? He heard Jesus' voice. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave him some instructions to obey, to follow. And this blind man responded in faith by getting up and going to that pool that Jesus instructed him to go to and wash. Didn't he? This blind man heard Jesus' voice and recognized it and obeyed it. Was the blind man one of the sheep that Jesus is referring to here? Sure he was. Because it says the sheep listen to their shepherd's voice. They recognize it. Now the Pharisees, in contrast, they had heard Jesus preach for days and months and years even. Had they ever responded once in obedience to this voice? To follow the shepherd? No. At every turn they were rejecting him. They didn't recognize him as being the authority, as the gate to the sheepfold. First of all, in your notes, I think it says that Jesus, or the good shepherd, controls the gate of the sheepfold. He controls the gate of the sheepfold. In John chapter 14, later on in the same gospel, verse 6, it said, Jesus makes this claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is, he controls the gate to the sheepfold. So Jesus is there to provide security. The shepherd, the good shepherd, would secure the sheepfold for the sheep. He would provide that last line of defense from all the predators, all the thieves that might come. Secondly, Jesus calls and he leads his sheep. He calls and he leads his sheep. In verse 4, we actually have a word where it says brought out. Remember where it says in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own. He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That's the same word, literally the same word that's in 9:35, in chapter 9, verse 35, when it says that the Pharisees had thrown out the blind man. The Pharisees had thrown out the man. They had gotten rid of him, and guess who took him in? Guess who brought him in to his sheepfold? It was the Good Shepherd, Jesus. The Good Shepherd brought him in. The thieves, the robbers, the Pharisees, the religious people of that day, they didn't care about the sheep. They exploited the sheep. They exploited the people in that day. What could they get out of the people? That's what they were interested in. That's not what Jesus said he had come to do. He had come to care and give life to the people. Jesus provides us significance. He knows our name. Think about that. He knows your name. He knows your nature. He knows your needs. He knows each one of us intimately. And he deals with each one of us differently, according to those needs and the way that he knows us. He knows us. And he provides us significance. Think about that. The creator of the universe knows you and cares about you. Does that make you significant? Sure it does. Sure it does. And finally, in verse 10, it says that the good shepherd came to give his sheep abundant life. Abundant life. You see, Jesus provides us so much more. Yeah, he provides us security, he provides us significance, but he provides us so much more. Jesus came to give us life to the full. You see, the people in this world are seeking life. That's why they go after all the things they go after. Relationships, money, possessions, addictions, all of these things. People are searching for what? They're searching for life. A meaningful, full, abundant life. And Jesus came to give us that. And in the context of all these things, Jesus is the one who's taught us and teaches us how to find true life. Do we still enjoy relationships? Absolutely. Can we still enjoy money? Absolutely. Can we still have possessions? Sure, we all do. But with Jesus, everything else comes within perspective and comes within context. And we begin to find the true source of living with him. And everything else takes its proper place. And we can enjoy life in this world. Jesus did not say, I've come to give you only life in the hereafter and misery on earth. And all you're going to do is suffer, suffer, suffer. No, that isn't what Jesus is saying here. And I think sometimes we as Christians feel like, oh, we can't do anything in this world. We can't have anything. We can't, you know, be a part of anything in this world, because we just need to kind of huddle back here in a corner and wait for the rapture where we're going to go see Jesus one day. That's not what Jesus is saying, is he? He's saying he has come so that we can have life in the here and now, but have it in the way that he wants us to have it. Have it in the context that he's designed for us to enjoy it. One in which he is put number one, and everything else falls in its place below that. That's what Jesus has come to give us. He's come to give us life. Maybe this year you guys have enjoyed the blessings of this kind of life. Maybe this year you've recognized some things, some blessings that God has brought into your life. And that's what I want to give you guys the opportunity to share this morning. Something that God has blessed you with this year. Something that you recognize is directly from the Good Shepherd, from Jesus, who cares about you, who wants to meet your needs. And you have an opportunity this morning to respond to God in front of your family and give thanks for the wonderful blessings that he's brought into your life. There's a story in the Bible that talks about 10 lepers that were healed. 10 lepers. Leprosy was a horrible disease. Basically a contagious skin disease that nobody wanted, and people would run away from you if they saw you with it. You were kicked out of the community. And Jesus healed these men who had leprosy. And he said, hey, go and show yourself to the priest. It was a way for them to officially be accepted back into culture and society, is when the priest declared them clean. And it says that he healed all 10 of them, but only one came back to say thank you. You know what Jesus' response was to that man? Where's everybody else? Where's all the other people that I've blessed and given blessings to? How come they're not speaking up? How come they're not giving credit to where credit is due? What's wrong with them? I've blessed their life tremendously. And yet they fail to even acknowledge the source of that blessing. Let's not be guilty of that same thing. Let's give credit to where credit is due in our lives. If you have a job this morning, that job's from God. You're like, wait a second, my brain power, my credentials got me that job. Who gave you the brain power? Who allowed you to produce those credentials and earn those credentials? It was God. We need to give credit and thanksgiving to God. And so this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to do that. And I'm going to ask Gary if he'll come up and he'll lead that time. And if you're in the Buds group, you know, the Buds group at church, basically that's our 3 through 5-year-old group. I would love for you guys to be a part of a skit for me. So if you want to be a part of a skit and you want to dress up in a costume and you want to help me out with something in a few minutes, I want you guys to head on back to where Sam, raise your hand. Sam's like, what? Sam's in the green shirt. Sam, can you lead them into that room over there? All right, so if you want to be a part of that, why don't you head back there now, and Gary, why don't you lead us?